Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
This is Bird Request Part 2.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys, Dirt and Sprague.
First we get the bard out.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
That's the American Woodcock.
Brandon Sprague.
Then the American Crow.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in.
Keep up the requests, guys.
Welcome back in hour two.
So good.
That cawing of a crow. I love that kid.
Can we get that in football games instead of this?
Red 85.
And get bird noises instead. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo, woo-hoo.
What would we do the first franchise quarterback that, like, gets to the line?
Just start calling him the Birdman. He's doing the old Birdman Anderson arm thing.
Every touchdown, yeah. He just flaps the wings. By the way, we did a poll question early this morning based on the 6 a.m. debate. What do you question more for health advice, the overweight doctor or the overweight personal trainer? And a very, very valid one here.
Okay? Ooh, what do we got?
Jason says, can't have a fat trainer, but weirdly, fat boxing trainer, okay. And I thought,
yeah.
I'm accustomed to seeing movie trainers.
Yeah.
The boxing ones never look like they're in great shape.
It's an old guy. It's like
it's an old guy.
But
yeah,
if the guy was a boxer and his body was just all beat
now
up
it's broken
after
down.
It,
that's different.
You understand that.
But it's usually a non-boxer. It's a guy that's been around the sport forever and he knows the ins and outs.
You gotta stay in there, Rock. You gotta stay in there.
Mickey.
What are
we doing?
Doing Mickey.
Call me Mick.
Did I see they're making another Rocky movie? This one's like about the making of the Rocky.
They're making one about Stallone.
How do we?
So his career was basically pseudo porn.
I mean, I get it. I've heard the story 8 million times.
Huge risk.
I've heard the story a million times.
All right.
How many Rockies do we need?
Have you heard about World War II? How many of those do you need?
It's a little bit more important in world history.
Well, some would argue
Rocky
not far
behind. Pretty pivotal moment in world history. Defeating Nazis. Pretty big deal.
I know about two statues for sure outside of Lady Liberty. The soldiers raising the American flag. And the Rocky statue in Philadelphia, brother.
The funniest thing about that is how much people in Philly hate that statue.
Because it's a sports
they
statue.
They have actual legendary boxers from Philadelphia. And they have a statue of a movie boxer.
Of a movie boxer.
Not a real boxer, a movie boxer.
Look up the politician that approved that one.
Yeah, that guy's probably controversial.
How many people see people run those steps daily in Philly?
I mean, it's a great theme song.
It's never going to end.
It's a good movie. I just, you know, I get the gist. I've seen enough of it.
Well, we have a lot to get to in the second hour. We got college football to talk about and yell at each other about.
Ooh, I can't wait.
But let's step into old Cafe Day Dirt and Spray. Good morning. Hello.
What do we got? It's our anniversary weekend this weekend. You know what the wife told me yesterday?
Yeah.
She's going to make me biscuits and gravy tomorrow for breakfast.
Okay.
I love biscuits and gravy. She never makes, but I get it maybe once
she
a year.
She do biscuits from scratch for you?
She does biscuits from scratch. It's a whole thing, man. It's
nice.
An operation. It's a very rare thing. And now it's a bit of an opening salvo that I don't know if I'm prepared to respond to. Because that's a nice effort. That takes time.
You got to so she's expecting you to respond for like
I don't think she's expecting it, but now I feel like I have to. We were already going to go out to dinner, and I was going to pay for the dinner, so that was my anniversary gift.
Oh, I thought she was looking for you to make a tomahawk for two or something.
Ooh, I don't know if she's in the mood for tomahawk right now. Dietary things with her 7 months pregnant. You never know quite what she's going to be in the mood for.
Okay.
It's a bit of a roll of the dice every day.
Does she do breakfast sausage gravy? Like a Jimmy Dean type thing?
I believe so. I believe there's a breakfast. I didn't buy the ingredients. She already bought the ingredients. I haven't seen what kind of sausage we got in the fridge.
If it was a standard B&G, I would say like if she's just getting the pre-made biscuits and setting them out, it's actually not very It's not a real hard process to make that meal, but if she's hand making the biscuits,
she's going biscuits from scratch.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I think it's an incredibly impressive effort.
That's a love language,
and I love her dearly. And I'm very excited 100%. To celebrate our sixth wedding anniversary.
Super cold butter, all in the little bits, so you get the flaky.
Yes, yeah. I love a good drop biscuit too.
Oh, so good.
It's just like it's a little sloppy, but it cooks perfectly. That's right. It's crispy.
That's
but
good
it's soft.
With beef stew under beef stew.
I agree with that. That's a good pull by you.
Sop it up.
Not very often we agree on food, sir. Right there, we're together.
Sop it up, man.
Got a lot on the menu.
Yeah.
But the special today.
What's the special?
It will not be biscuits and gravy. I'll let you have that as a special for the weekend.
Got me like a seafood omelet today or something?
I don't think that's going to be on the menu at the Sprague's.
It's a Friday. Got to go off the board on a Friday.
That's the beauty of owning your own restaurant. And at the Sprague Breakfast Cafe, you get to pick what's on the menu.
Exactly.
If Swag's got a menu, he ain't putting strawberries on that menu.
No.
No, but there's strawberries for your waffles
want strawberries on the waffle, I will put strawberries on the waffle.
Today's special is cinnamon roll French toast with bacon on the side and a bowl of fruit medley.
Okay, I'm down with that.
Get down.
I'll eat that.
I love cinnamon roll that's French toast.
I do, too. It's delightful.
Do I do it myself? No.
No.
But if I ever eat it, oh, watch out.
And some nice, thick bacon.
It is. It's all going to disappear. A lot to get to here in the Cafe de Dirt and Sprague.
Order up. I think I'm surprised that this is happening right now, but I'm not surprised that it happened. I always felt like it was a long shot for Diego Pavia to make the 53-man roster, but I figured that they'd want to see him at least through training camp, and they want to see him at least through preseason. I was kind of excited because I thought he'd give us a little bit of an excitement during the preseason, but I just think at the end of the day, you know, they signed Skylar Thompson. They signed Finneyama as an undrafted free agent, and I think they probably used this offseason to determine, okay, who are the four guys we want to go into training camp with to kind of find that last, you know, practice squad spot. Maybe if you take three quarterbacks going into the season, which they're not going to do.
That is Baltimore Chat Sports. Say it ain't so. Heisman finalist Diego Pavia has been cut and waived by the Baltimore Ravens.
Canada, here we come.
UFL, you bet.
Yeah, you know, a lot of Vernon Adams had a good career up there, okay?
Yeah, Pavia's perfect for the CFL.
Pavia's not good enough for the CFL.
Oh, he's not good enough for the CFL?
To this guy's point, he just got cut. He couldn't even get into camp.
Yeah, but how many guys in the CFL are in? I mean, I guess I don't know the answer off the top of my head.
Well, quarterbacks need to be more mobile up there because they only got three downs.
Right,
so
you're running
around.
So a lot
of times when it's third and eight, if you got to
– it's on your legs,
yeah,
buddy. Go pick up a first down.
Make a play.
When I saw the story, I saw a photo of Lamar standing with Diego Pavia. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't Lamar listed at 6'3"? I believe that's his height.
That sounds right, yeah.
I don't think he's a 6'5 guy. He's 6'3".
No, he's 6'2 or 6'3".
I'm really not go look at this photo if you can. Look it up.
Pavia's like 5'8".
Dude, he's tiny.
I don't know, man. Like,
he's my height.
6'3 is a couple inches taller than me, and the gap between Dirt and I is not as wide as this one. Pavia looks like he might be 5'7".
Yeah, which is remarkable that he was good enough in college being 5'7". Like, that's an incredible accomplishment, despite his douchiness. We all know how this is going to play out, though, don't we? And we all kind of knew how it was going to play out. He was never going to be an NFL quarterback. You can't be under 5'9" and be an NFL quarterback.
I don't, unfortunately, the only one.
I don't think he's good enough.
Maybe that's not. Like, he's going to be a podcaster.
He's going to show up on the WWE or a UFC match. That's what's going to happen.
He's going to host a podcast. He's going to host a podcast with Emmanuel Acho. We all know.
And then he's going to throw passes to Jake Paul.
Yeah,
in the UFL.
some obscure thing.
Yeah, a hell of a moment in fame. You beat Alabama at You made Vanderbilt relevant. Like, and he is going to milk that for the next 47 years.
He is.
Order up. Saw that yesterday. I guess you can't really, at least personally, I can't decline an offer I never got officially invited to. So I was pretty surprised to see that. Never got invited. And obviously that's, you know, whether it's against Steph Curry or, you know, in the W, I always go out and try and beat my record every single time I've gone out. So, yeah, I mean, I just kind of wanted to set the record straight. Like, that was just false, but I'm really excited for the participants in it. And obviously there's going to be a new winner, so I'm excited to see who wins.
There is Sabrina Ionescu, former Oregon Duck. There was a report that she declined the invite to the WNBA's three-point competition this weekend. The WNBA All-Star festivities kicked off last night. As Paige Becker said, what's the goal this weekend? She said, get lit, and drink our electrolytes. Sabrina Nescu saying that report is false. She was never invited?
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
What are we doing?
I don't know. I don't know what's with the WNBA and why it is creating some of the worst headlines possible.
Well, everything that comes out from a non-viewer standpoint.
Did you see the article?
Everything is, it's culture war stuff.
Did you see the Emmett Till article?
I did. Yeah. I did.
And look, here's what I will say. I maybe this is based on, she's not having a great year shooting the three. I think she's 31% this year, so that's not
but
good.
But didn't she just say she's, like, somebody else is going to be the champion?
If you're the
champion from last year, shouldn't you be back?
I know.
Also, if you're trying to reach out to, and this is a little of a biased example,
she has her
own shoe
line.
That's what I'm saying. Like, wouldn't you want the biggest names appearing in that to get the most attention on the event? And how many names in the WNBA? I'm not saying she's the most popular player in the league. By no means is she.
Yeah.
But she's one of the, what, top?
Top 10.
Top 15, top 10 at bare minimum. To the point of having her own signature shoe via Nike. Like,
and
she's
the new
a known
one
name.
Just dropped, and it's already sold out.
Yeah, I was
looking for a pair. Those
why
things
would
are
you
great.
Not invite her to be in the three-point contest? I don't understand it.
Dude, the article was utterly ridiculous from USA Today about the Caitlin Clark stuff. What I'll say is this, though. I absolutely, as somebody who, I don't consume it every day, but I catch a lot of WNBA action, there is 100% a faction of the internet that doesn't watch, doesn't support, can't name players, that only a Caitlin Clark thing gets them to get hot and bothered.
Without a doubt.
And it is a weird cultural, you know, sticking point for a lot of people. And it's, I hate it. I see people all the time and the only time they talk about it is when it's Caitlin Clark related. And I find it utterly stupid.
Leads to some pretty awful takes is what it does.
Yeah.
Is she in the three-point contest?
Caitlin Clark?
Yeah.
I believe so. Let me go look.
I mean, if she's not, what are we
doing? What are we doing?
If Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Nescu are not involved in some festivities,
I don't know
what you're doing.
Paige Beckers is banged up, right? Is she going to be
she
in the Olympics?
No,
she played
Portland.
She
ended up playing
in
the Portland game? Okay.
Yeah. So Sabrina says, fake news. It's not true at all.
Order up!
Would you put yourself ahead of LeBron as a team standpoint?
My success as a team is more successful than LeBron. I got 6 rings.
Okay, so then if I talk to an NBA owner, by the way, this is very helpful because
yeah,
I realize
that
this is very helpful because for me as a fan, I've followed this. So if I speak from an NBA standpoint, owner, and I want to find an all-around player to be my number one, you think the average owner is going to pick you or LeBron?
I don't know.
Got it. Okay. So that.
You want individual accolades or you want championships? Because I didn't chase mine.
Okay.
That was former Blazer legend Scottie Pippen on the PBP podcast.
Is that the peanut butter and peanut butter podcast?
The description of the show is independent free thinkers.
Oh, yeah, that's a free thinker right there.
And Scottie Pippen, you heard it there. I have 6. LeBron has 4. I mean, if you want to win the whole thing, you choose me over LeBron James.
Pretty wild that he just admitted Robert Horry is a better NBA player than him.
That's right.
That's crazy.
Big shot.
There's
Rob's
no
got
world.
What,
I
eight?
Mean, I'm shocked
7.
That Scottie Pippen acknowledged that Robert Horry is better than him. It's top 50 player of all time, and he said Robert Horry is better than him. Belongs in the top 25.
I'm sorry, I need to send that plate back.
Where did Scottie go after Chicago?
Portland.
Before that.
Oh, where did he go? Where did we get Houston? Yeah.
Who do you play with? Barkley, Olajuwon.
Big
right?
shot Rob.
Did they win the title? Did they win the championship?
No, they didn't.
Okay,
no,
where
do
you
no.
go after Houston?
Portland.
What did Portland do the year before Scottie joined our team?
Conference finals.
Conference finals?
Conference finals. Made it all the way. One of the last 4 teams standing.
I didn't chase mine. You absolutely chased at the end, brother.
And then you choked in game 7.
You absolutely choked in our games. You were great for our team.
Yeah.
You were a great leader, you absolutely came up short. Hey, what did the Bulls do when Jordan retired? Did they win a championship?
You tapped out for Tony Kukoc.
You tapped out because the play wasn't drawn up for you in the final moment, and Kukoc had to be the one.
Yep.
So, like, I love Scottie Pippen. I give him his flowers. I actually think he's vastly underrated.
Agreed.
And I think when we talk about some of the all-time stuff. Like, I love how it almost gets framed by Jordan stans who hate LeBron, that it was Mike and everybody else, as if Scottie wasn't the premier defender of that team.
Right.
And the point forward of that team. But there's a real 90s era weird thing happening here where some of these players are saying the most asinine things I've ever heard in my life. The Steph Curry couldn't play. LeBron is not as good as Scottie Pippen because we're counting rings.
Stop.
I just, like, at some point, even some of these 90s hoops heads, I love you. You have to come out and tell us, like, these are asinine statements being made by that generation.
Yeah, we need people from that generation standing up to people from their generation.
Push back a little bit. Like, you don't have to say LeBron's the GOAT.
Like, just stop it,
but
dude.
Come on.
Scottie Pippen, you're a hell of a player. I agree with you. You're one of the more underrated players in the history of the league. You're one of the more versatile players in the history of the NBA. You're a guy that could have fit in every era that you played in. You're not better than LeBron James. And that's not a criticism. That's not, like, I'm not putting you
down.
You're
not close
to
LeBron James.
It's not even in the same conversation.
He would have bulldozed your skinny ass and dunked on you. What are we talking about here?
I don't know if it's, like, I've seen some Rodman stuff on this, too, where we would have locked him down. And that's a guy who married himself, by all means.
Rodman's
the wildest
just crazy,
takes.
So
like, is
whatever.
This Scottie Pippen just lashing out at the world because his ex-wife slept with Michael Jordan's son? I don't know the backstory, and I don't know how he got here, but.
Well, Scottie does a weird thing where every once in a while he'll dabble in. To hating LeBron.
Yes.
And then give it about 8 months, he'll be on a pod and he'll tell you how Jordan didn't do squat without him.
Yes.
And how LeBron should get, like, he's done it three or four different times, and I don't know what to make of that.
I just love the immediate follow-up of, like, yeah, you didn't need to chase your championships because you were put on a team with the greatest player in the history of the league.
Your roster was pretty good.
Anything else I'm missing here? You would have been drafted by the Sacramento Kings. I'm sure you would have bounced around a little bit in your career.
Yeah, how would you have worked out for the whole... How many rings did you have? You stayed a Sonic.
Yes.
You were drafted by the Sonics.
Would have been good. Would have been a great player in the 90s.
Was he dealt for? It was a draft day deal?
It was a draft day deal. Yeah. He was drafted as a Sonic.
I'll look that up
for me.
Kendall Gill?
Ooh.
Or am I mixing up my drafts?
I don't know if Kendall Gill was a Bull. What's Google AI say?
They just immediately traded his rights.
Yeah, it was
drafted. A pick swap?
Olden Polonese.
The officer?
Olden Polonese is such a great throwback.
That's a great throwback name.
Olden Polonese.
By the way, Caitlin Clark not participating in the State Farm three-point shootout.
Is that by her choice or the league's choice?
I have no idea.
Way to go, WNBA.
Like a good neighbor.
I'm going to watch that for sure.
From the logo.
That's my experiences over the years, is you can see what the bar's at, and sometimes you can look at it and say you're this close, and sometimes you're further away. And sometimes it's the perspective and the way you look at it. A coach might look at it different than a fan or an analyst. But for us, and the way I've accomplished it in the past, is just really challenge every group in the team, wherever you're at, to improve. And we got to address our weaknesses. We got to make sure we continue to keep our strengths in order and who we are, understanding our identity, and continue to learn from those things that have happened to us, both good and bad.
That was Kalen DeBoer. Didn't get to it yesterday, so I carried it over today. Would you say you were able to tell what his answer was about there?
To winning a national championship.
That was when he was asked, what determines success for your program? I've listened to that clip four times. I'm still not sure if I can tell how Kalen DeBoer establishes what is a successful season for Alabama.
I don't think Alabama fans like that answer either for that reason.
It's a pretty bad one because he said fans and media have different ones than we do.
Usually ends holding up trophies. That's usually
at Alabama, that's what it's supposed to be.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. 9-3 ain't good enough around here, buddy. Getting blown out of the playoffs, not good enough around here, and that was always the risk taking that job. This will go down. I'm fascinated to see how it all plays out. He's not going to get fired this year because they just gave him a contract extension, and Alabama ain't rich like that.
8-4 after if they have an 8-4 season with that extension.
So hot, man. It is going to be a disaster. He's got breaking in a new quarterback, so we'll see. Maybe it works out for him, and the young quarterback is great, and Alabama makes it back to the playoff, and much ado about nothing. But just where we're at, thinking like 2 to 3 years down the road of what is the thought process around Kalen DeBoer? Is he still at Alabama? Has he won a national championship and shut everybody up?
Yeah.
Are we looking back and saying, dude, by this point they would have built a statue for you out front of Husky Stadium if you just would have kept that job where you went to the national championship with that team and you wouldn't have had these sky-high expectations? It just this will be a big what if for the next 2 to 3 years for me, because his press conferences have always been terrible. He's not the most rah-rah motivational guy talking to the media. What solves all of this is winning, and he has not done enough of that in 2 years.
And finally, on Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague, we will end with this because we're going to carry some of it over.
Order up!
Whoever wins a national championship doesn't define who has the best conference.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best conference gets defined by how many good teams do you have from top to bottom, and I think the SEC has a lot of good teams from top to bottom. So I do think that the Big Ten has had three really, really good football teams. I mean, Michigan had a great team, beat us in overtime in the playoffs, you know, 3 years ago, Ohio State, Indiana. They had really, really good teams. We continued. Last year we had five teams in the playoffs, you know, as an SEC conference, which says that there's, you know, pretty good depth in this league. And a couple other teams, Vanderbilt and Texas, could have got in. So there's a lot of good teams in the SEC. I think every coach is trying to get his team to play at the highest level possible and hopefully get the best results possible. And if that leads to a championship, that's the ultimate goal. But I don't think they feel pressure just because somebody else won a couple championships.
And that's Nick Saban claiming the national champion doesn't define who the best conference in college football is. Dirt, very quickly, what conference did Saban last coach in?
That would be the SEC.
What conference has won three straight national championships?
That would be the Big Ten.
Ah, it's interesting. We used to have a barometer for those folks in the South to determine who the best conference is. Weird to hear how it's being flexed a different way. Let's talk some college football as we exit Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. We'll do it next, hour two on The Fan.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on this beautiful little Friday. Hope you got weekend plans ahead. A lot to get to as we roll on the radio program. We will talk some college football here in just a second. We got to do something about our Trajan situation. There's like 80.
We got a lot of them we got to dig through.
Too much paper.
Got a lot of paperwork in here.
I don't even know where the other papers are.
Swag brought in more paperwork. We got more paperwork. We got papers everywhere. Paper. There's trees falling down left and right out there.
Swag is an old school guy, dude. He believes in printing 85.
Well, I tried to
guys.
Email that to you boys, but you couldn't access it.
Now, at least you did do the Tom Dundon.
Front back.
It's dual-sided.
You should do dual-sided.
Because this is still a thick packet of papers.
It is.
There's a lot of teams in the Big Ten.
There's 18 of them, quite a few.
What do you make of Saban's comments there? We played it at the end of the segment. Nick Saban said yesterday at SEC Media Day.
I feel like he's been hanging out with Kenny Atkinson too much.
I feel like he's been hanging out with Larry Scott. That's the argument the Pac-12 used to make 10 years ago.
I could not find it. It's weird how the internet works really well and sometimes doesn't work at all. I could not find an old quote. I know it exists. It has to exist. Nick Saban had to have had a year where the SEC won the title, whether it was him or somebody else, and he came out and basically said, we're the national champions, we're the best conference. He has to have been a hypocrite with that
statement.
Look
how many championships in a row we've won.
Yes.
Look how much we've dominated the sport. That
Absolutely.
Makes us the best conference in America. All of it is very weird for me. Like, these little bastards down south go 3 years without winning a championship, and we have to do some, like, existential crisis instead of just acknowledging, like, maybe the Big Ten was just better that year. Texas might win the national championship this year.
Yeah.
Georgia might win the national championship. Maybe Ole Miss. Maybe LSU.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it's Alabama. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just this, like, we have to do this soul-searching and answering questions, and it's just ridiculous. The Big Ten has been a better conference at the top the last 3 years. There's no debating that. You have not appeared in a national championship for 3 years as a conference. The Pac-12 has a national championship appearance more recently than the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
The Pac-12 with Washington 3 years ago. Another side note of this, I think a lot of stuff Saban says is good. I enjoy him as an analyst on game day. He brings a credibility from the football and coaching standpoint that is very hard to duplicate, right? Was that audio pulled from the SEC Network or Get Up and First Take? Because I know he did both yesterday.
That one was the non-SEC Network okay. one.
This is going to be my other gripe of it. I get that you spent the vast majority of your career in that conference. You were most known for your accomplishments in that conference. There is also this weird nature of you're not an SEC coach anymore. And the saying of we, like you're a college football analyst. And I know that might not be a bridge too far for some.
He's an SEC legend. He's the GOAT coach.
I get it. He also coached in Michigan State.
Yeah.
I know people don't remember. That was the start. He was there for a number of years and he bolted for another job. Which is what a lot of coaches do. I'm not. It's just the idea of him saying, like, you're an analyst on TV now. You're not an SEC coach. If you're up there at SEC Media Days saying, you know, look, we haven't won the title in 3 years, but we still have a very good conference, that I get. You're not coaching in the conference anymore,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, but if Mike Bellotti came out randomly and did something about, you know, the old Pac-12 and said we.
That would be a little weird for me.
We
don't exist anymore as a conference. If he did we when he's talking about Oregon, by all means, you coach there and you're most known for your time as an Oregon head coach.
Well, okay, so it's the same thing, though. What's
if he's
Nick
talking about Alabama,
for?
Then by all means, I get it. But that wasn't an Alabama argument. It was an SEC argument.
He's coached at two programs, premier programs in the SEC.
He coached a program in the Big Ten. Is that we too?
Yeah, my thing is, it wasn't long enough. My thing with Saban on it isn't so much that. It's like he is obviously Mr. SEC on that panel, right? Like everybody make an argument they're very pro-SEC in general, but he's Mr. SEC. Right, you think Nick Saban, you're going to say SEC.
I think championships. Paul Feinbaum's Mr. SEC.
That's fine, too. I'm fine with both of the opinions. I don't view his statement as more in that line. I more view it like, what a weird thing to say in the terms of, like, this is not the belief and opinion if the SEC's winning championships.
No.
So what you saw from a four-day Media Day extravaganza, and we got audio to get to from Sark. I didn't agree with everything he was saying, but I like that Sark just speaks his mind on stuff. What you saw on a four-day media day from SEC folks is what? They're in their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
They can't operate in the world of bagmen anymore. They can't outbid a lot of these conferences and these schools.
No.
And they're not having the success in how they measure themselves the last three seasons. I mean, he in that statement, he's bragging about five teams in the playoff. How many were in the semifinal?
Zero.
One.
No, one. Yeah,
Ole Miss. And it was the one that we least probably would have picked of the five because their coach abandoned them. So
right.
I just think you're seeing for 4 days, you saw a conference super into their feelings, super sensitive, making weird threats that they then walk back yesterday. Did you see that from Sankey?
I did.
You know, we're actually not. We're just like, you know, we're talking about stuff. It's like
they're trying to do the we're not breaking away and only playing our own football. They're trying to say we're going to govern ourselves,
yeah,
which
ridiculous.
Is going to be the same problem that had existed in the first place. If somebody's going to file a lawsuit and a judge is going to grant that. It does not, by the way, another subplot of this. And we don't need to talk about it a lot today. There is all the momentum is stalled for the Save College Sports Act, and they're not going to get
it. It sounds
a vote
like it's not going to pass
until the recess happens, and then you're going to an election. In November, and you ain't passing it in November.
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
I know you're not a fan. I think he has said some of the dumbest stuff I've ever heard a person say publicly on a camera.
Mm-hmm.
I think Stuart Mandel is right to point out Tommy Tuberville actually might have the better.
Without a doubt. His plan was exactly what we need.
There's only two things on it.
Yeah, it was limiting transfer, so it's
transfer
not unlimited.
One time.
Right. And then I can't remember what the other one was.
But
I remember seeing the tweet and being like, oh, my God, I agree with Tommy Tuberville. That's a very weird spot to be in. One of the most hypocritical human beings alive.
I mean, not even close.
And not a good person. But, yeah, that was the takeaway of, like, can we just strip this down and get rid of the nonsense and get the rules in place that make the sport a little bit better?
Eligibility, 5 years max,
yep.
One-time transfer. Now, I disagree with the transfer part of this, and I just always fundamentally will, because they should have a legal right if they're making money to keep making more money. And if that involves moving three times, let them. But for people like you who want more stability,
mm-hmm.
and I think a lot of fans, that's it. The Protect College Act has like all these different little rabbit holes.
I think there was also an antitrust component in there too, if I'm not wrong, from Tuberville to keep them from constantly getting sued.
I think you're correct.
I think that was the third thing. And it was like, yeah, that's basically all we need. We need to get to a point where you're not transferring every 4 months. We need to get to a point where if you get a ruling from the NCAA that you disagree with, or a conference you disagree with, you find a judge that's in your favor,
yeah,
and it throws out the entire ruling, and now they have no authority anymore. Like, these are pretty simple things that I think most, like, if you think it's a one time is too many, how about twice? Is twice enough? Should we ever limit? Like, you know, we can have that debate, but you get rid of a lot of the nonsense, strip it down, and get the parts in there that we want. That would move college athletics in the right direction, in my mind.
Steve Sarkisian was talking at the podium yesterday. It was Texas's turn, so we got a couple cuts here. Here was Steve Sarkisian. Parker Livingston is in Oklahoma Sooner now, and so he's transferred from Texas to Oklahoma, and he was asked about taking on Parker Livingston at the Red River Rivalry.
I hope we kick his ass. I don't know. Like, it's a Red River Rivalry. You know what I mean? He chose to go there. He's on the other side. It's the way the game goes. If you've ever been, it's a hell of a game. It's epic. You know, pulling into the Cotton Bowl, the State Fair, the corn dogs, the turkey legs, the, you know, split down the middle at the 50-yard line, both teams in the same tunnel. Like, at the end of the day, like, it's competition. You know, after the game, I'm sure I'll give him a big hug. Before that, we're trying to beat his ass. That's the way it goes.
I love that answer from Sark. That's perfect.
I have stuff on Sark I disagree with, but I'll never get mad at somebody that's willing. I can disagree with Nick Saban and what his statement is. I just will never get mad at a coach that's willing to actually say something versus the coach that says nothing.
I hope that Dan Lanning has the same quote on Jaden Lamar this year. When they play Washington, I want to whoop his ass. He might be their number one running back. Dude, he ran pigeon-toed in Eugene. Get him out of here. We hope we beat him. Transferring away, leaving your team in the playoffs to go to your biggest rival. Get the hell out of here. He was only a freshman last year, Livingston. He had a good year as a freshman wide receiver. It is hilarious to look at his ESPN profile, too, because he has not taken his team photo yet for Oklahoma. So it's him in a Texas polo, and the background of the picture is the Oklahoma logo. And it's very, it just kind of throws you for a loop. It is strange. The idea of running to play for a biggest rival is not something that as a competitor I would have ever thought of, but this is the world
it's
we
a
live
different
in.
World,
it's
man.
A different world we live in, man, yeah. And that's going to be a fun subplot when they do play.
Poll question is up. What would you choose to eat right now if you had to, a corn dog or a turkey leg?
Corn dog. Corn dog.
Turkey leg.
I'd love,
really good turkey leg is.
I'd love to go to the Red River Rivalry one time.
Yeah,
awesome, that's high on my bucket legs, list, man.
The
see
COVID
the fair.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Get on the Ferris wheel, eat some fried foods, and go watch some football.
Sark also talked about the scheduling. This is where he loses me. Talk about not getting over something. The SEC has not gotten over the fact that they haven't won a national championship in 3 years. And Sark has still not gotten past what happened last year.
We beat Ohio State last year. Surely we're in a much better position when it comes to the playoffs. But on the other side of it is, if I don't play Ohio State and I play Jones Junior High and we're 10-2.
Those poor kids.
And our two losses are to Georgia and Florida. We're a playoff team. But like anything in this world, if you want to be really good at something, you got to take risk. There's a lot of value in that win if you can get the win. And so is the juice worth the squeeze or not? That's what we're all tasked with. And so I don't know yet about Notre Dame. We'll see. Because I think the committee's got to show us what happens now and what's the value that they're placing on strength of schedule. And are we going to let a 9-3 team in as an at-large? We'll find out. And I think that this year is going to be a great test to that, of what that looks like.
I don't believe we will be letting in a 9-3 team at-large. And
Oh, you don't think so, huh?
No, not this year. When you get to expanded playoff, I think you do.
We've come close, but not quite. There's teams that have been debated, but not realistically.
Well, and they're one of them. They were debated last year. The thing about him and the SEC is, like, it's the same. Like, get over it. You lost last year. Like, he plays this game. He's said this thing like twice. Yeah, we wouldn't have played him last year. It's like, but you did, and you lost. Would you bring this up? If we would have played him last year, we played him, we beat him. It's like, I don't know what we're doing. It's sour grapes from everybody. Now he might be canceling a Notre Dame game.
This is what we're going to get in college football. There's no point in scheduling hard games in non-conference anymore.
Be good. How about don't lose?
Yeah.
How about you sometimes you kind of deserve to be left out if you can't handle your schedule. Beat Florida.
I get it.
Handle your business.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong there. There's also Indiana, who plays Old Dominion and Indiana State non-conference, and they're guaranteed 3-0. And there's not a risk. And that's the trade-off.
But what did they do in the Big Ten play?
They went undefeated.
Undefeated. So even if they had lost a game, Because they, and I don't disagree, they should play harder
this
teams.
This is the difficulty where I see both sides.
You got
to
handle some of your business against your lower level teams, man. You cannot, like,
oh,
Florida is
that.
An abject disaster by the time Texas played them last year.
I agree with that.
And they were an embarrassment. They threw up all over themselves in Gainesville.
They did. 29-21 was the final. It was
so
gross.
I don't know, man. I don't know what we're doing here. Like, you played Ohio State and you lost. Okay, like, thank you for playing a game that I cared about. You came up short. That's fine. Don't lose against bad teams. And Florida last year was a bad team.
No doubt about it. I think there's a really difficult debate being had right now, and I don't like the direction that it's going because there's this idea if you don't put a 9-3 team in, there's no point in playing these games, which is, just sucks for the general college football fan. Texas and Ohio State is the biggest non-conference game again this year. It's in week two. It's going to be massive. The television ratings will be probably 20 million people watching. It's going to be a huge, huge game down in Austin, Texas at night in week two of the college football season. I want those kind of games.
Yep.
But I also understand the gripe of our path to the playoff is harder because we had to play Ohio State. And playing Ohio State, who is one of the best teams in the sport, is going to make it more challenging. You know, if you win the game, you got a leeway to do whatever the hell you want the rest of the season. The easy argument is don't lose to Florida, and that's not a wrong argument. If you beat Florida, you're in the college football playoff. Mm. I want these kind of games in college football, and I don't know if we've come up with a way to accurately measure all of this stuff to assess who the best teams are to make sure that we keep them in the sport. Texas and Notre Dame would be an awesome home-and-home series, and I don't want to lose that for college football.
Yeah, Texas at Notre Dame.
It'd be incredible, dude.
Visually stunning for a lot of fans.
But then you get the other teams, and Kurt Cignetti won the title, so he can say whatever he wants, but who's just saying, we're not going to do it. We're not playing anybody with a pulse. And there's no punishment. There's no negative consequence to it.
We'll roll on with college football. Got some Big Ten stuff to dive into. They have their media days next week. We're going to be next Wednesday, so we'll have a lot of coverage here on The Fan. Some Big Ten college football talk next. 105.1 The Fan.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
If you were diving in to having a fishing excursion at the coast and somebody texts you the forecast for the oceans picked up a bit, but we should be okay.
What are you going to go nab?
Are you nervous?
Yeah, I'm absolutely nervous. I'm nervous going out in the ocean even if they tell me the weather's calm.
Oh, dude, I just...
As long as I'm with people who know what the hell they're doing, I'm okay, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Okay. I asked, what does that mean? They said 2 to 3 feet.
What are you going
to
go catch?
I don't know, salmon and rockfish and some bottom feeding fish.
A little fishing excursion this
weekend.
Well,
it started, it's like I want to catch a salmon for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
And it now I'm like on the, I have to drive to the coast this evening and I'm going fishing tomorrow at 6. So if I perish.
Ooh, yeah, this is the way you go down.
Which is terrible. Like it's one of my biggest fears is the ocean. It's been a great ride with you. I just want you to know
it's been
that
fun.
Now.
Fun while it lasted. Yeah. This is the last rodeo we have. Let's yell about college football scheduling one more time on our way out the door. I feel like if they say 2 to 3 feet, isn't that like the swells?
That's what I'm guessing.
That's the swells of the wave. You're bouncing up and down.
What I'm getting now
How
is.
How big of a boat? How big? Little boat, big boat, medium boat?
Medium, small.
Okay.
Like one of, it's because I'm going to Pacific City.
I prefer to edge on the side of medium.
Well, I'd prefer large. cast down a cruise ship if I could for a couple hours would be great.
A luxury yacht to do some fishing off of the back. That sounds enjoyable, man.
I don't know, man. I'm like having a lot of like cold feet here.
Don't back out. You'll be all right. It'll be okay. Weather will calm down.
According to the internet.
Ooh, never wrong.
Big Ten schedules ranked from easiest to hard. Number one easiest schedule is Wisconsin.
Oh, that's good for Wisconsin after having a murderer's road last year. Maybe they could benefit.
Penn State.
That's why they're a trendy pick for a lot of people to make some noise in year one.
Washington is 7th.
Okay. Kind of right in the middle of the pack.
UCLA is 8th.
Mm-hmm.
I love UCLA's over this year.
Ooh.
Oregon is 16th. Ohio State is 17th, USC is 12th, and Michigan is 13th, and Indiana's 14th.
Okay, that sounds about right based on the general knowledge I have of the schedule.
Yeah, so you guys...
I got no criticism of that.
I mean, and that's kind of how it should be, I would argue, based on...
I mean, it's also difficult because we don't know how good or bad teams are going to be.
Exactly.
We do this in the NFL, so it might be an easier schedule on paper, and then you get a team, you know, Indiana's an example of this from 2 years ago, that they come out of nowhere, and you would have thought that's a guaranteed win for everybody, and then they go 11-1 in the regular season. So you kind of just look at it from the outset, and that sounds about right based based on the scheduling. I know Michigan's got a pretty tough one. Penn State is on the other side of that, relatively easy. USC fans are already complaining about how difficult their schedule is, so 7-5 will be okay in year 5 for Lincoln Riley.
Yep.
And I think Oregon's is kind of right in the middle, right? Like, you got to go to Ohio State, which is a brutally tough game, followed by coming home and playing Michigan, and then, oh, by the way, flying back to East Lansing on a Friday night to play Michigan State, who should be a little bit better this year. Mm-hmm. But I also don't look at their schedule as murderer's row, and you can't survive this thing.
Some Big Ten media day, some pre-Big Ten media day coverage, I should say. We got some stuff here. Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana all have well over 50% chance to reach the college football playoff. Ohio State has the highest percentage chance of anybody at 76%.
That's interesting, considering the Texas non-conference game. And I do think Ohio State's schedule is pretty challenging this year.
Oregon is 65%, second highest in the conference.
Yeah.
Indiana's 57%. USC is 28%, and Michigan is 23%. So there are your five.
Michigan, I don't see, but their schedule, man, I just don't see it. But maybe I'm wrong.
Kyle Whittingham's a really good coach.
No doubt about it. Go look at their schedule.
I know, but we don't know. Like,
I know. I'm just saying, on paper, it looks like a very difficult schedule.
But those are your five highest odd teams in the conference to make the playoff.
Yeah,
Penn State, to your point, like, kind of flying under the radar with the schedule.
They're the Indiana from 2 years ago.
The new coach.
They play nobody in the Big Ten.
And they brought over a whole bunch of experience.
Including a starting quarterback in Rocco Becht, who's been a starter, I want to say, for at least 2 years at Iowa State, maybe three. Like, that's a guy who's got a ton of experience, so you're not starting from scratch there. There was already some nice pieces on the roster. Like, Franklin was a decent recruiter, and not everybody bailed when he took over. When you look at their returning production, it's actually a little bit higher than I would have guessed going into the year, considering the coaching change. You add a veteran quarterback, and then the component of, and again, this is the downside of these mega conferences, is that you're just going to have a year where it breaks your way, where you don't play anybody that has a pulse. And Penn State kind of is that this year when you look at up and down who they're playing. They have, I'm going to say they're tough, so their non-conference is a cake. Marshall, Temple, Buffalo, hello, undefeated. Mm-hmm. They get USC at home. You got to go to Michigan, so that'll be tough. At Washington, outside of that, no Ohio State, no Indiana, no Oregon, who are at least on paper going into the year, the three best teams in the Big Ten for everybody.
We also got the odds to win the Big Ten title. According to DraftKings, Ohio State is a plus 180 favorite to win the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana's a plus 250 to win the Big Ten.
Okay.
And your Oregon Ducks are third at plus 260.
Nobody's giving us a chance
to win the conference. Well, we had literally somebody from the South on this week who said he's picking the Oregon Ducks.
Doubting us. Keep questioning us.
Do you want to make a sandwich bet that our buddy Pate picks the Ducks to win the title? Because I think he will.
You think he will this year?
I think he will.
I think you're probably right. I don't want to take that bet.
I mean, you know he loves Lane.
He picked him to go into the national championship last year, which, by the way, remember the narrative a year ago about Oregon. That was shocking when he did that. I know that they were highly ranked, but last year was supposed to be a down year for Oregon. And when he picked them to go to the national championship,
how do you define a down year for Oregon?
People yelling at me about them going 8-4.
Oh, well.
That was the thought going into the
year. To some of that, yeah. I guess
Dante Moore throws pick sixes. That was the thought a year ago.
Who said that?
I mean, I can't think of anybody.
Anybody pick Austin Novosad to overtake Dante Moore?
Dante Moore wasn't going to be the starting quarterback a year ago because he threw so many pick sixes at UCLA.
Really dumb thing that person would say. I think they also predicted he wouldn't go to New York for the Heisman. So, you know, that person kind of smart. Sometimes smart.
And they ended up getting one of those right, at least.
USC is 14-1 and Michigan is 15-1.
Yeah.
So these, the Michigan-Whittingham thing, is this going to be like,
I think he's a
much better coach. Is this going to be Jonathan Smith? What is that fit? Or is this really going to be, this dude's going to settle everything. They're going to get a new AD and he's going to get them back to that 9-3, 10-2. I don't know what to make of Whittingham in Michigan because I have so much respect for him.
Right.
Blah, I don't know what they're doing at quarterback, and there's just so many unknowns about it.
And look, I get the questions on, we don't know exactly how tough the schedule will be, but I know you play Oklahoma non-conference at home in week two, which is not a guaranteed win. They got Mateer and a lot of talent back. You're going to have to go, like, you're going to have to avoid the landmines at random places, like on the road at Minnesota or a Michigan State or a UCLA on the road. You have to go to Oregon and to Ohio State in two of your last three games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck there. Oh, and by the way, you play Indiana. Now, you get them at home, but you have all three of the big in the Big Ten, and you have Oklahoma on your schedule. And that's four teams who have a legitimate shot at making the college football playoff. And if you don't win, win any of those four games, 8-4 is the best you can ask for. And that is, again, if you avoid a pitfall. So that's a tough part right now. I think the world of Kyle Whittingham. I think he's a great coach. I just don't love Michigan necessarily in year one because I don't trust their quarterback, and they got to play the three big teams in the conference this year.
Who will have a better year, Michigan or Penn State?
Penn State. Yeah. From a win-loss perspective, Penn State. I don't know if they'll be the better team, if that makes any sense,
no,
but
it.
Just based on who they're playing. They also play, Penn State beats them in Ann Arbor. 7-5, hello, Michigan.
We have a lot more college football. We're going to get into some NFL on the show notes and a little Blazers, and it's a Friday. So we're going to have something fun to get into. Hour number 3 and 4 right around the corner. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.